Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2495 with a release date of Friday, August 22nd, 2025, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. AST Space Mobile announces plans for satellite launches soon. An upcoming de-expedition to South Georgia Island will include young hams, and public radio stations in the U.S. are excluded from grants to upgrade the emergency alert system. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2495 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Union, Kentucky, here's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Our top story takes us to Texas, where the cellular service provider that is seeking use of ham frequencies to assist its future satellites has announced it is starting to plan its launches. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, brings us up to date.
AST Space Mobile, which has asked the FCC for permission to use amateur radio frequencies for a planned constellation of satellites providing cellular-based broadband service, has announced it expects to have launched between 45 and 60 satellites by next year. In its second quarter earnings report this month, the Texas company said that it plans satellite deployments every 1 or 2 months into 2026 and expects to begin providing service in the United States by the end of this year. In the first quarter of next year, the company hopes to begin rolling out service as well in Canada, the UK, and Japan. In two separate deals pending, the company is planning to acquire use of portions of the S-band and L-band spectrum for global delivery of its services. AST Space Mobile, which is considered a rival to SpaceX, was recently approved to use the amateur radio band on an experimental basis for a low Earth orbit satellite, a prototype known as FM-1. It was assigned the call sign WP2XRX, which is valid through the 1st of July, 2027. The company plans to use the 70-centimeter amateur frequencies to conduct telemetry, tracking, and telecommand between ground stations and its satellites. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
NASA has begun developing a plan to terminate the missions of two high-tech satellites that are monitoring carbon dioxide buildup on the Earth. We have the latest from Travis Lisk in 3ILS.
In the U.S., the White House has told NASA employees to end two widely used state-of-the-art satellite missions that keep a watchful eye on greenhouse gases heating up the Earth. The satellites, known as orbiting carbon observatories, are the federal government's only ones of their kind and are relied upon by farmers, scientists, and the nation's oil and gas companies to keep track of atmospheric carbon dioxide. In a post on NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory website dated the 15th of August, the agency said the 10-year-old mission is viewed as, quote, the gold standard for carbon dioxide measurements from space and has quietly become a powerful driver of technological, ecological, and even economic progress, end quote. Recent media reports about the directive have said no reason has been given for the terminations, which would destroy one of the satellites and its sensitive instruments because the spacecraft would burn up on re-entry to the Earth's atmosphere. The other satellite is attached to the International Space Station. This is Travis Lisk and 3ILS.
Here in the U.S., some of the nation's public radio stations have learned that they will not be involved in the government's new emergency warning system. Randy Sly, W4XJ, tells us more about what happened.
An updated emergency alert system to be rolled out in the United States will exclude funding for it at public radio stations. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which faces closure at the end of next month after its own defunding, has told member stations that apply to its warning system grant program that there is no money for them. In an August 18th email, the corporation's CEO, Kathy Merritt, wrote, quote, CPB is deeply disappointed that critical equipment intended to protect the American public in times of emergencies will go unpurchased, end quote. She said, however, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting had no choice. The nation's emergency alert system, which delivers public safety traffic when severe weather or other threats are imminent, has been under review by the Federal Communications Commission. This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
A rare DX activation in the sub-Antarctic region is going to involve young amateurs in core roles, as we hear from Jason Daniels, VK2 LAW.
The planned de-expedition for South Georgia Island in March of 2027 isn't just about activating one of the rarest and more challenging sites for portable amateur radio. A central focus for the team will be its role in mentoring the young radio amateurs who will be accompanying the more experienced operators to the sub-Antarctic island. The team, using the call sign VP0SG, is giving these youngsters top priority. Project team leader Rune, LA7THA, told Newsline in an email that one or two licensed young operators are expected to be a part of the operations on the island. He said, quote, "They'll be involved in every phase of the expedition, from setup and daily operations to teardown, working alongside veteran de-expeditioners in challenging real-world conditions," end quote. He said the team is working closely with NCDXF on this initiative, which is in sync with so many amateur radio youth engagement activities around the world. Meanwhile, there's much work to be done regarding this environmentally sensitive DX entity with its mountainous landscape and volatile weather patterns. The shore camp will have 5 operating positions, but details still remain unclear on any additional stations that are capable of being operated remotely. Rude said that final team composition and operating plans also need to be fine-tuned. The de-expedition fulfills the mission of the Norway-based Amateur Radio De-Expeditions, which devotes itself to giving hams around the world a chance to contact remote parts of the globe. This is Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
With the Huntsville Ham Fest barely 1 week behind us, organizers of next year's Hamcation in Orlando, Florida, are asking attendees to think ahead to the event. Jack Parker, W8ISH, tells us why.
Nominations are now open for awards to be presented at Hamcation early next year, and one of the 3 honors will be making its debut, the Amateur Radio Hero of the Year. This honor was created to recognize the radio operator whose selfless and extraordinary actions provided exemplary public service in times of crisis, whether during a natural disaster or in some other critical or emergency scenario. Nominations are also being accepted on the Hamcation website for 2 other annual awards, Gordon West Ambassador of the Year and Carol Perry Educator of the Year. Think of the amateurs you know and admire anywhere in the world and what they have brought to the community. Then visit hamcation.com/award to get them in the running. Hamcation, which is taking place on the 13th through the 15th of February, is a convention for the ARRL's Southeastern Division. This is Jack Parker, W8ISH.
University students in Canada have passed a milestone that leads to the manufacture of a series of 9 CubeSats with support from the Canadian Space Agency. Cell MB KB3TZD brings us that update.
The Canadian Space Agency's CubeSats initiative for STEM, a project known as CubeX, is moving ahead toward the manufacturing phase after its design passed final review recently. Professors and their students are involved in the design, build, and launch of satellites as part of CubeX at 9 universities. Ultimately, the 9 3U CubeSats are to be deployed next year by ExoLaunch, a German launch services company based in Berlin. The satellites will conduct a number of experiments relevant to amateur radio and utilize the ham spectrum for their command and control. They will also conduct research on wildlife migration, monitor oceanic and atmospheric changes, and study radiation-mitigating technologies that can be used in space. The payload will include digipeters as well as digital and CW telemetry beacons. This is CellMB, KB3DZD.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including D-Star Reflector 91C on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. local time in Melbourne, Australia. In India, officials are taking aim against the sale and marketing of handheld radios that they say violate consumer and telecommunications regulations. Jim Meachins at L2BHF explains.
Authorities in India have announced a crackdown on the listing and sale of handheld transceivers from China that they say break laws governing consumer protection and the unauthorized use of radio frequencies. Stories in various Indian media outlets identify some of the 13 e-commerce sellers in question as Facebook, Amazon, Flipkart, and Indian Mart, among others. The nation's Consumer Affairs Commissioner, Prahlad Joshi, said that the violations of the Indian Telegraph Act, the Wireless Telegraphy Act, and rules governing the use of low and very low pass short-range RF devices were being broken. Acting as an advocate for radio users, the West Bengal Radio Club Secretary, Ambarish Nag Biswas, VU2JFA, told the Statesman website that users of these radio sets could interfere with police and other agencies' communications and gather sensitive information relating to national security. This is Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF.
If you enjoy working hams in the UK and you're up for a bit of a challenge, this next story from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, might be just what you're looking for.
The newest award series available from the Radio Society of Great Britain is open to anyone, anywhere in the world, but the real winners are most likely to be hams throughout the UK and its Crown dependencies. That's because these awards encourage people to make contact with them. Available at many different levels of achievement, the new Worktall UK and Crown Dependency Prefixes Award recognises contacts among UK amateurs themselves, as well as those from around the world with UK amateurs. There are awards for collecting prefixes in Scotland, in the Crown Dependencies, and even the entire UK. The top award is called, just as the name suggests, the Worked United Kingdom Prefixes Supreme Award. Details of how to achieve this award or any of its subsets can be found on the RSGB website and at the link that appears in the text version of this week's newscast script at arnewsline.org. You will also learn ways to share your story about chasing some of these new awards, because after a QSO, almost everyone likes to hear a good story too. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
In the world of DX, listen for CW200DI, the special event station for members of Radio Club Uruguay. Operators are marking the bicentennial of Uruguayan Declaration of Independence and will be on the air until the 18th of September. The anniversary date itself is the 25th of August, 1825. See QRZ.com for QSL details. The Dutch Marine Radio Amateur Club is using the special event call sign PA40MARAC until the end of the year to celebrate its 40th anniversary. See QRZ.com for QSL and other details. Casimir DL2SBY is celebrating 50 years in amateur radio by operating from the Seychelles as S79-DL2SBY. Listen for him from the 28th of September through to the 12th of October. He will be on the HF bands and will be operating on 6 meters using a 5-element Yagi. See QRZ.com for QSL details. The Dutch Radio Club is operating the Dutch Lighthouse Hunt from the 1st through to the 30th of September. There are several call signs that will be in use, including PA01LH, PD00LH, and PD01LH. For a full list of call signs and QSL details, see the QRZ.com page for PA01LH. If you're looking to log a contact with Playa Blanca Island, IOTA number SA084, be listening later this year for Renato, PY8WW. He will be operating there from the 12th to the 16th of November and is still awaiting the call sign he will be using. The island is part of the Utria National Natural Park, an environmentally sensitive area that prohibits use of fossil fuels. Renato expects his activation to rely entirely on an EcoFlow power bank system and solar panels. He will be providing updated information about his activation when it becomes available. A teenager chasing DX might not be a big deal these days, but 100 years ago this month, an Iowa 15-year-old logged a contact that would eventually shape the future of radio communications and its technology. Jim Davis, W2JKD, has our final story this week.
High up in the attic room in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, young Arthur Collins often got a view of the world from the other end of his 20-meter radio signal. On the 3rd of August, 1925, those high-frequency transmissions brought the frozen landscape of Greenland into sharp focus for him. Arthur made contact via CW with the Arctic Expedition, undertaken on behalf of the U.S. Navy by explorer Donald McMillan. Their exchange of CW messages ultimately traveled so much farther, in a way, because the shortwave signals from Arthur's 1,000-watt homebrew transmitter accomplished what the Navy's longwave transmissions, lacking the ability for skip, could not. Media attention followed, of course, and the teenager's smarts with radio technology soon became well-known. Like McMillan, Arthur Collins himself was an explorer, and his new paths across and above the world were shaped with increasingly shorter radio waves. The young inventor became a pioneer, pushing that early technology in inventive ways. He was barely a decade away from becoming a businessman and seeing the rise of Collins Radio, Rockwell Collins, and Collins Aerospace. The Collins Aerospace Museum in Cedar Rapids has been celebrating him all month on the 100th anniversary of that McMillan contact, displaying artifacts, documents, and photographs that capture his decades of discovery that began when he was a young explorer. The museum features a replica of the attic space that was his laboratory and radio shack where it all began. The replica room was created by the Arthur A. Collins Legacy Association with help from students at the Cedar Rapids Metro High School. Like young Arthur Collins, no doubt many of these teenagers are already on course to make some cutting-edge discoveries of their own. I'm Jim Davis, W2JKD.
It's now even easier to send in your ham radio haikus to us here at Newsline. Visit our website at arnewsline.org, and as you compose your ode to your favorite online activity, we will help you use the correct number of syllables to make an authentic haiku. Submit your work, and then sit back and wait to hear whether you are the winner of this week's challenge. The winner gets a shout-out on our website, where everyone can find the winning haiku. With thanks to Amateur News Daily, Ambarish Nag Biswas, VU2JFA, AMSAT News Service, ARD Expeditions, Canadian Space Agency, CNBC, Collins Aerospace Museum, Corporation for Public Broadcasting, David Behar, K7DB, DX News, 425 DX Bulletin, FCC, The Gazette, Hamcation, LightReading.com, Radio Society of Great Britain, Rune, LA7THA, SAT News, ShortwaveRadio.de, Statesman, Wireless Institute of Australia, YouTube, and You Are Listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, non-profit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG in Union, Kentucky, saying 7-3. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2025. Amateur Radio Newsline retains ownership of its material even when retransmitted elsewhere. All rights are reserved.